जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवर दारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवर दारी। यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीर वन चारी। यमुना तीर वन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवर दारी। गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवर दारी। यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीर वन चारी। यमुना तीर वन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवर दारी। गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवर दारी। यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। तीर वन चारी। यमुना तीर वन चारी। Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Astadvada Sata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Guti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakura Ki Jai Prince Kahosha Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gauda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamkun Radhakund Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai Mayapur Navadvip Dhamma Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai Harinama Sankirtana Ki Jai Prasadam distribution ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gaura Nitai Ki Okay. So I'll be starting from text 114 in chapter 7 of Madhya Lila. So I would like to run through the different verses and then I would like to backtrack a little bit from the beginning of the chapter. There are certain very important points that are made in the beginning of the chapter, which I feel are very important for us as devotees in terms of seeing how the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted and how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responds to their loving affections and gradually lead up to the verses of today. Excuse me. Lord Chaitanya is on tour at this time. He's touring through South India, for those of you who may not have been listening or following the previous classes. While at this place, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his usual ecstasy of love of Godhead and was laughing, crying, dancing, and chanting. Everyone who saw them was astonished. Excuse me, everyone who saw him. Any better light here? Is it possible? Or is that it? Oh, that'd be a little better. Thank you. After hearing of these wonderful occurrences, everyone came to see him there. When they saw the beauty of the Lord and his ecstatic condition, they were all struck with wonder. Just by seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone became a devotee. They began to chant Krishna and Hari and all the holy names. They all were merged in a great ecstasy of love, and they began to dance, raising their arms. Always hearing them chant the holy names of Lord Krishna, others also became Vaishnavas in those villages. By hearing the holy name of Krishna, the entire country became Vaishnava. It was as if the nectar of the holy name of Krishna overflooded the entire country. After some time, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his external consciousness, a priest of the name Kurma, a priest of the Lord Kurma deity, gave him various offerings. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mode of preaching has already been explained, and I shall not repeat the explanation. In whichever village the Lord entered, his behavior was the same. In one village, there was a Vedic Brahmin named Kurma. He invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect and devotion. The Brahmin brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home, washed his lotus feet, and with his family members, drank the water. That Kurma Brahmin, with great affection and respect, made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat all kinds of food. After that, the remnants were shared by all the members of his family. The Brahmins then began to pray. The Brahmin began to pray. O my Lord, your lotus feet are meditated upon by Lord Brahma, and these very lotus feet have come into my home. My dear Lord, there is no limit to my great fortune. It cannot be described. Today, my family, birth, and riches have all been glorified. The Brahmin begged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, kindly show me favor and let me go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This statement is applicable for everyone, regardless of how rich or prosperous one may be. Narottam Das Thakur has confirmed this statement. Samsara Vishana Nale Diva Nishi Haya Jvale. He states that the materialistic way of life causes a burning in the heart. One cannot make any provisions for the troublesome life of the material world. It is a fact that one may be very happy as far as riches are concerned, and one may be very opulent in every respect. Yet one has to manage the vishayas to meet the demands of the body and of so many family members and subordinates. One has to take so much trouble to minister to others, Narottam Das Thakur therefore prays Vishaya Shadaya Kabe Shuddha Habe Mana. Thus, one must become freed from the materialistic way of life. One has to merge himself in the ocean of transcendental bliss. In other words, one cannot relish transcendental bliss without being freed from the materialistic way of life. It appears that the Brahmin named Kurma was materially very happy, for he expressed his family tradition as Janma Kala Dana. Now, being glorified, he wanted to leave all these material opulences. He wanted to travel with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the Vedic way of civilization, one should leave his family after attaining 50 years of age and go to the forest of Vrindavan to devote the rest of his life to the service of the Lord. Although I was not assigned the next verse, I think, having said what I've said, I have to say the next verse, because Srila Prabhupada definitely elaborates on just this particular point. Otherwise, I'll have to spend a half hour stating what Srila Prabhupada could state in just a few seconds. So, bear with me. It is very important. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Don't speak like that again. Better to remain at home and chant the holy name of Krishna always." If my reading sounds a little bit slow, it's because I can hardly see the book. I brought my magnifying glass. Unfortunately, due to my advanced age of dementia, I forgot to take it and put it here to read it. But I'm a little bit struggling through. It's not my normal speed of reading. But purport by Srila Prabhupada: it is not advisable in this age of Kali to leave one's family suddenly, for people are not trained as proper brahmacharis and grihasthas. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised the Brahmin not to be too eager to give up family life. It would be better to remain with his family and try to become purified by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly under the direction of a spiritual master. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If this principle is followed by everyone, there is no need to accept sannyas. In the next verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises everyone to become an ideal householder by offenselessly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and teaching the same principle to everyone he meets. And in the next translation, it is mentioned, Lord Chaitanya, in this very famous verse, Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agaya guruhana tare edesh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. So I'll skip the purport and leave that to the next speaker and begin. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Chapter begins with Lord Chaitanya deciding to tour South India. It wasn't merely a tour the way people go on tours today and just do some sightseeing. He had a very solid, very strong, very important mission. His mission was to evangelize basically the whole of South India. On the pretext of finding his brother Vishwarup, who had taken sannyas and hadn't been heard from, he gave the excuse that he wanted to find his brother, and also he wanted to travel to South India. Well, as soon as the devotees heard this, right now they are in Orissa in Jagannath Puri. As soon as they heard this, they almost had a heart attack. It was so heart-wrenching for them to hear that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had been with them for some time, was now going to leave them. The idea of the Lord leaving them was as if, like, as if their heart was being yanked out of their chest, so to speak, as if they had become empty. It was intolerable. And yet, what could they do? Lord Chaitanya was independent. He makes his own decisions. He decides what he wants. And so, of course, they looked very glum, and they looked rather gloomy at the very prospect of losing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They wanted him to stay. On the other hand, they knew that he had a mission to perform. The interesting thing about this that I found is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he would leave, he asked their permission. Here, the Lord of the universe, creating, maintaining, destroying planets and universes, filled with all of the six opulences, beauty and wealth and strength and fame and knowledge, renunciation. He has everything. He needs nothing. And yet here he is, bending his head, bowing his head to his devotees, whom he loves so dearly, and begging them, asking them, I would like to have your permission. The Lord asking permission from the devotees who are worshiping him, glorifying him, adoring him, looking up to him, giving their all to him. Now they are, he is asking permission from them. It's a very interesting spiritual point. Because the Lord considers himself in infinite debt to his devotees. He considers them so important, so lovable, so adorable. Why? Because they are giving him, they are offering him, they are presenting him day in and day out, moment after moment, pure love. The Lord doesn't need food, he doesn't need clothing, he doesn't need shelter, he doesn't need anything, but the only thing that he does, he doesn't really need it, he's always blissful, but what he delights in, what he relishes, is the pure love of his devotees. And the purer it is, and the more intense it is, the more obliged he feels. And so the Lord felt such tremendous obligation to them. He felt indebted to them. He felt that he owed them. Yes, he was receiving such love, and he was relishing and enjoying the pleasure of their pure love. It was so pure that they demanded nothing in return. They asked for nothing that he should give them, only the opportunity to serve him. They asked for no more. Just allow us to serve you. Let us feast our eyes upon your beauty. Let us offer whatever foodstuffs we can by inviting you to our homes and offering different preparations to you, the ones that you like. Just let us serve you. That's all we ask. And this love, as I said, was so pure and so intense and so ongoing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt so indebted to them. Please give me your permission. Of course, they didn't want to give him. They didn't want to give permission because they loved him. They wanted to have his association. They loved his dearness, his nearness. They felt cleansed. They felt uplifted. They felt ecstatic. They felt peaceful. They felt everything beautiful, good, glorious, and sublime in the presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how to give such permission? And yet, on the other hand, they knew that this is what Lord Chaitanya had to do, and he wanted to do. So, of course, the permission was granted. When he went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and he asked him, please, I am ready to leave, so I would like to have your permission. So initially, Sarvabhauma said, I can't give you permission immediately. So he says, I must have your permission. I can't leave without it. She said, please stay at least 5 days in my place. Stay 5 days. So Lord Chaitanya, being the servant of his servants, yielded because he loved Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya so much. He was so, again, indebted to the love and devotion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whom he considered a great devotee. So he stayed five more days because he knew that the hearts of the devotees were breaking. Anyway, the story moves on. It's a very important point, that it's not that we just offer loving devotional activities or substances or the services we do, and that's it. But Krishna is so attentive. He is in our heart, super soul, watching everything, appreciating everything. He's not a stone. He's not insentient. He's alive, and he's appreciating, and he's being pleased by the degree of devotion and love with which we are saturating our offering. It's not that it's just an offering, and those who are simply giving it without any thought, without any feeling, without any thought, without any care, well, they get a certain type of result. And those who give it with the feeling that, what a great opportunity, what a grand grace this is, that the Lord is allowing me, he's allowing me to serve him. How wonderful, how glorious. There is no greater work, no greater job. This is the best. It can't get better. So when the devotee actually has that mood, has that mentality, and makes his offering in such a sweet, full of a sweet, feelingful manner, then the Lord is highly appreciative of this, and the Lord not only accepts this, but reciprocates this. And the devotee feels that reciprocation in his heart. He feels joy, he feels satisfaction, he feels fulfillment, he feels upliftment. He feels a connection with everything and everyone because he's connecting with the Lord, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. One who is not connected with me in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they may come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever austerities you perform, do this as an offering unto me. In this way, you'll be freed from the bondage of work, and it's all auspicious and inauspicious results. So Krishna is saying, yes, give yourself to me, give your words to me, give your thoughts to me, give your feelings to me, give your actions to me. Don't look for any return. Just give them, because actually we owe it to the Lord. He's doing so much for us. He feeds us, he clothes us, he shelters us, gives us beautiful sunlight, he brings up beautiful trees. He's the most talented creator. that's a sign that I have to stop for a few seconds. So he's the most beautiful creator, and he's giving us so much, so therefore we are in debt to him. Being in debt to him, our offerings have to be with the idea that we are being the opportunity, having the opportunity to pay off this debt, which is unrepayable. It's an infinite debt. It has no end. And he gives and gives and gives, even in spite of our offenses, in spite of our wrongs, in spite of our indifference, in spite of our disdain, in spite of our uncaring, in spite of our, in the past, decrying him, looking down, denying him. In spite of all this, he pushes it aside and says and sees, ah, my devotee has come back to me. Like a father lovingly seeing, yes, my child has come back to me. I forget all of the past wrongs, and all I will do is try to encourage him, try to help him, assist him through guru and all the great saints and sages, as we have gotten from Srila Prabhupada. Without Srila Prabhupada, this temple wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. We'd probably still be karmis, or maybe impersonalists, as I was. So we're also indebted Consequently, we have no right to even imagine that the Lord excuse me, owes us anything for our service. Service is being given as an opportunity. It's a gift to us. And when we treasure it, when we appreciate it, like a miser, he has a diamond and he holds it and he looks at it and he puts it and holds it on his heart, doesn't want to let go of it because it's so precious. Similarly, the devotee takes the service, considers it so important, so valuable, that he's got the diamond of all services, namely the service of the Supreme Lord. And when he is conscious of this while he is serving, that is even greater. Many of us serve, but we forget Krishna in the course of service. As Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee, offer obeisances, worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me, you will come to me. Always be thinking of me. He says to Arjuna, right on the battlefield, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. Krishna also says, in all conditions, just depend upon me and always work under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in this consciousness, but you act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So these great devotees are not lost. They are dear, they are near, they are close to the Lord. The Lord loves them. And that's why he asked for permission. So finally, the Lord goes on his, to go on his tour. And we encounter a very wonderful, very marvelous happening. I said that the Lord had gone down to South India for the purpose of evangelizing, so to speak, the entire area. Many were devotees and devotees of Krishna, but they were referred to as tattvavadis. Lord Chaitanya, what is a tattvavad? Basically, a tattvavadi is a person who practices regulated principles, but the chief principle of a tattvavadi is that he exercises or practices the varnashram system for the pleasure of Krishna with the view of achieving the Vaikuntha planets or the liberation, four of the types of liberation, Sarupya, Salokya, Sarshti, Samipya. The first one is not for tattvavadis, that's for the mayavadi impersonalists, Sayujya, merging into the absolute, into the light. So that was the extent of their understanding, tattvavadi. Lord Chaitanya, and they are called they are followers of Madhvacharya. Lord Chaitanya, his movement also followed Brahma, Madhva, but Gaudiya Sampradaya. And the difference that Lord Chaitanya injected in his, we find this out from his conversations with the tattvavadis when he traveled to South India, is he said that this, which you have just stated, the exercising one's prescribed duties in the varnashram system, is not the highest goal. Going to the Vaikuntha planets or liberation into the Vaikuntha planets, that is not the highest goal. According to Shastra, highest goal is hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, which goes beyond merely becoming very moral, very ethical, very devoted. It goes beyond that. It takes a devotee who concentrates on the holy names of the Lord, as well as the other eight forms of devotional service, hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshiping the Lord, offering prayers to Krishna, practical service to the Lord, friendly association with Krishna, as well as offering or surrendering one's body, mind, and words to the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya emphasized that this is the main point. Such total surrender, such loving surrender. Loving surrender, ideally, in separation. So this was his... Why that? Because in loving the Lord in separation brings such an intensity of joy or ecstasy or happiness that one becomes totally and completely stuck like cement on the Lord. You don't want to leave him. You don't want to separate for a second because, as I have already said, just being with him is pure joy, pure happiness, pure fulfillment, pure purity, satisfaction. So you want to be with this because it's cleansing, it's uplifting, it's satisfying. It's what the living entity, the soul, is always seeking and searching and looking for but never finding. Because it's always looking for these things, this happiness which it has lost as a result of dipping or coming into this material world in the darkness of it knows it's supposed to be happy. It knows it's supposed to be joyful. But it's not feeling that because it's in the darkness of ignorance. And it doesn't know how can it become joyful. So it tries to become joyful again. In the original spiritual world, everyone is joyful because everyone is serving Krishna. Everyone is associating with Krishna. Everyone is loving Krishna. Everyone is offering his offering his obeisances to Krishna, doing different services for Krishna. As a result of that, everyone's feeling joyful. That's the place of ecstasy, of bliss. So when you come down here, and why would we come down here? Because we want to know what it tastes like to be a Lord. What does it taste like to be worshipped? What does it taste like to be loved? What does it taste like to be honored? What does it taste like to be celebrated? What does it taste like to be applauded? What does it taste like to be or to feel like God? What's it like? So we give up our service to be served, to be honored, to be glorified, to be celebrated, which is very temporary, very short-lived. And it will never give us the permanent happiness that where the soul is forever seeking because it once had it, but it left it and it lost it. The only way it can recover, the only way it can regain that wonderful position is by associating with the Supreme Lord. That is the way one experiences inner ecstasy. So, as Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we chant the whole Lord's name, the Lord, as we all know, has invested himself in the name itself. So, for example, if my hand is warm and your hand is cold and I put my hand on your hand, then your hand will start to get warm. So by association, we change, we transmute. So as we associate with the Lord through his holy name, we become slowly but surely purified. The darkness which is surrounding the soul and the impurities of lust and anger and greed and envy and illusion and madness and sloth and gluttony and all of those wonderful things that we all enjoy so much, they gradually attenuate. They become thinner. They start to become diluted until finally they evaporate out of us. This is the whole idea of chanting the holy name, and it is the prescribed method for this age. It is the method for this age. Hari nama, hari nama, hari nama eva kevalam kalo nasteva nasteva gatiranyata. To achieve God realization in this age of Kali, chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. Yes, there are other ways, but they're not suitable for this day and age because our concentration is so scattered, so monkey-like. especially with all the distractions of Kali Yuga. We're pulled this way by this television show, or we're pulled this way, this magazine, this newspaper, this gossip. This one is saying this. This one is doing this. This one is wearing that. And endless digressions and diversions, to the extent that our mind becomes one just flutter. It just flutters this way, fluttering. Cannot focus, cannot fix, cannot become steady, with a few exceptions. Of course, there are some people who can. And because it cannot focus and stay steady on the Supreme Lord, the Lord has granted this means, this way, in which is much simpler and very easy. It's so easy to get together as we do, and we just chant Hare Krishna, we sing Hare Krishna. And by so doing it, and if we do it with our whole heart, with our whole, all our feelings, again, as an opportunity, again, as a privilege. Yes, it's a privilege to chant the Lord's name because he's giving us an opportunity to associate with him. What can be greater than that? That's a blessing, a benediction. It's no different than if Krishna just walked in this door and said, here, I'm giving you my association. But sometimes we're too dull to actually perceive this. But it's in the books. All the acharyas mention this. So even if we don't see or even taste it, just on the basis of faith to begin with, and on the basis of knowing that we are receiving it from an enlightened acharya, Srila Prabhupada, he's giving us and telling us that yes, if you chant this holy name and you sing it and you dance to it and you clap to it, all the sins, as they say, the birds of sin will just fly away. Some of us have more sins in our background. It may take longer. We should not expect what we call instant gratification. If all the TV ads, they're all based upon this principle, instant gratification. Try this toothpaste, you'll get white teeth in just one brush. Instant gratification. Give your dog this food, and he'll be peppy and jumpy, and he'll lick your face like he's never licked it before. This instant gratification, you know, I've got to have it now. Now. This is what we're accustomed to. So sometimes a new person comes to Krishna consciousness and says, well, I've been chanting for, you know, a few months now, and I'm not feeling this ecstasy. Like last night, I had a young lady, she said, for the last year, I've been reading these books, I've been hearing the lectures of Prabhupada, I've been reading this and chanting and doing this. She says, I don't feel any better than when I first came. So I said, well, that's unfortunate. How are you doing? She says, I have all this knowledge. I says, but are you applying the knowledge? I said, it's not enough to merely clutter the head with lots of knowledge, like cramming. You know, when we used to take exams in university, you just cram it all in there, and you go out, and then you give your answers, and then no sooner you're out the classroom, it's out of your brain. It disappears because you just crammed it just to get the grade, and then it's finished. So that's not the way Krishna consciousness is supposed to be absorbed. Every word that Prabhupada writes here has to be tasted. It has to be, it's delectable, it's relishable. It's coming from on high, from the Supreme Lord. That's the first thing. The second thing I told her is that you're not implementing what you have read. You're not trying to communicate with Krishna through your actions. You're just doing things. You're reading, getting it in your head, and forgetting Krishna. That's not what Krishna says. He says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. He wants you to think of him. He wants you to pray to him. He has a relationship with you already. He wants to awaken that relationship in your consciousness. He wants you to be aware of him. He wants you to depend upon him. It's right in the Bhagavad Gita. So all you have to do is everything you do, where you're cooking, you put something here, you turn this is for you, Krishna. You start reading, I'm reading for you, Krishna. You begin eating, I'm eating for you, Krishna. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, do it for me, Krishna says. So how are you going to remember to do it for Krishna if you don't say, this is for you, Krishna? Then you're not conscious of him. If you're not conscious of him, then your Krishna consciousness is just kind of like half. It's dedicated to Krishna, but we're not communicating to Krishna. I have found from my own experience, I'm not perfected in this, by the way, and I know don't wish to give that impression. But I have found that by doing this is for you, Krishna, please accept it. This is for you. After a while, it becomes like a habit in my mind that I'm walking for you, Krishna. I'm talking for you, Krishna. I'm speaking to a different devotee in the back of my mind. I'm saying, I'm listening for you, Krishna. And as Krishna becomes, this is what Krishna consciousness is all about. You are conscious of Krishna throughout your day, as often as possible. Sometimes it's not practical. You can't do it. You're at your computer. You're doing this, that, so many things you have to do. Your mind has to be one-pointed on some mechanical puzzle or some something to do with geography or history or scripture. I understand that. But you're at your computer. Why isn't there a picture of Krishna right above your computer so that when you look up, what am I doing this for? Who am I working for? What is my purpose? To serve you. You're right there in front of me. Thank you for reminding me. Sometimes when I give this talk in Nudwalk, I always ask at the Sunday feast, how many of you have a picture of Krishna right in front of you on your computer monitor? A few of them do raise their hands. And that's good, because it means that you, that much more. I actually had the initial of Krishna tattooed on my wrist, just so that every time I look at my watch, I can see, well, I've forgotten Krishna for the past 2 hours, at least now. Yes, here it is, K, Krishna. So it helps, really. You have to try, you have to do everything possible. Look at all these beautiful pictures. If you look around, you know, if you just look at them, I'm sure some of these are pushkars. The pictures, they're practically, aren't they? Are they all yours? Yeah, they jump out at you. That's how I know his paintings. There's such a variegatedness of color. I always admired his paintings for that variegatedness that distinguishes his art from so many other artists. And they also, they seem, all the pictures, the figures look alive. They don't look like mannequins, which is really, really wonderful. So, where was I? Somehow I got so absorbed, yes. What I was trying to bring out is how to becoming more and more Krishna conscious. So when you look at these pictures, what happens is when you come in every day, you see them, and after a while it becomes what we call rote. They're just there. But really, we have to cultivate this consciousness of they're not just there. This is Krishna coming to us. He's announcing himself. I'm here in my picture. Srila Prabhupada used to call these pictures their deities. So this is all part of the process of Krishna consciousness. So now coming, therefore the point I was trying to make is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he did is he taught these tattvavadis, and many became the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we read on, we will see that literally millions of people became followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process of hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna as the highest, because it would lead to inner, deep, fulfilling ecstasy, inner peace, inner strength, inner love. And that's what people are all looking for, love. So as Srila Prabhupada says, we can find love in Krishna. We should repose our love in Krishna, and in reciprocation, Krishna will give us his love, and that love will be so fulfilling, so uplifting, and so satisfying that it will leave nothing more to be desired except to serve Krishna more and more. That's all. It's all for service. It's all for devotion. It's all for Krishna's pleasure. And we cannot do that enough. Now, sometimes we will find that Krishna will give us some ecstasy, some happiness, fulfillment that I'm talking about. And at other times, we may not feel it. And sometimes devotees say, what has happened? Has Krishna left me? Has he abandoned me? Am I now lost? Have I committed some horrible offense that Krishna is no longer giving me what he was giving me before? If we go back to the wonderful pastime of the first Ras Lila, And the gopis were with Krishna. And they were also happy and satisfied, and they were serving him, singing to him. And then they became what was called proud. Being proud, they felt that they were superior to many other women in the world. And what happened was that Krishna disappeared. He withdrew from them. And he withdrew from them, and what happened was that they began looking for him. Where is Krishna? What has happened? Why has he left us? What is going on? And they began running here and there, talking to the different trees. Oh, jackfruit trees, oh, amla trees, oh, bale trees. Where have you seen where the son of Maharaj Nanda has gone? We're looking for him there. The whole point of that was, and I won't go into the details of that pastime, but the main point of it was, is that Krishna had two things. Never be proud when Krishna begins to give you his mercy in the form of inner joy, inner happiness, inner fulfillment, inner satisfaction. Don't be proud in the sense that, yes, I'm better, I'm greater, I'm higher, I'm bigger. They're not getting it, I'm getting it. They should look up to me. As soon as that happens, Krishna is out of there. He doesn't like his devotees to be proud in the sense of feeling superior to others. Rather, the devotee has to feel the way Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us we should feel. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. I'm small, I'm insignificant, I'm worthless, I don't deserve all that Krishna was giving to me. I have no right to it. So who am I to demand that he should give me more and more? If he wants to leave me, that's his business. Of course, I don't like it, but it's his business to do whatever he wants. He's independent. So when the devotee has this attitude of humility and feels small, tiny, insignificant, next to Krishna, next to Lord Chaitanya, well, then the Lord, he literally gives a waterfall of mercy to that devotee, flooding his heart with such love and ecstasy. The more the devotee becomes small, the more large he becomes in Krishna's eyes. And Krishna is ready to give more and more of his divine grace. So, now coming back to this particular point, Lord Chaitanya has, what he does is he travels here and there. Oh, most important, I don't want to forget this point. Now, when Lord Chaitanya was traveling through South India, he turned on a very special potency, which it is mentioned here in the text, that he did not manifest to the general public anyway. The potency to chant the holy name in front of someone who would then hear the holy name and then would not only understand it and feel ecstatic from it, but he couldn't shut up. He couldn't stop chanting it. So he would chant it to somebody else. And then the somebody else would hear it and delight in it and hold it. And then he would give it out to somebody else. And so it went, in other words, Lord Chaitanya did not have to sit down and speak in front of 5,000 or 10,000 or 50,000 people to get his message across. All he did was he chanted, he danced, he jumped, he rolled on the ground sometimes, he cried, he was in full ecstasy, and he was chanting the name at the same time. People were listening to it, they began chanting it, they transmitted it to others, others transmitted it to others. As a result of this ecstasy that they were experiencing, they naturally were propelled to want to know more about this. What about Krishna? In other words, it propelled them to go to scripture to find out more about the pastimes. As Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya was saying in that verse that I quoted, Yade deka tareka Krishna upadesh. What he was doing is that he was getting them to get more interested in the pastimes of Krishna, the philosophy of Krishna, and as a result, they became great devotees of Krishna. That's all mentioned right here in this book. So that particular potency, and Srila Prabhupada answers, he says, well, why didn't he turn that potency on when he was in West Bengal? Why is it in South India? And it's mentioned due to the activities of the smarter Brahmins who were very much opposed to him. Because Lord Chaitanya was, whoever you were, he gave out the holy name to, whether you were Sudra, whether you were Vaishya, whether you were Kshatriya, it didn't matter. main thing is get the holy name in everyone's heart, purify everyone, let the whole world become purified so that everyone could become Krishna conscious and go back home, back to Godhead. That was his chief goal. That was what Lord Chaitanya wanted. And that's what he accomplished. So that's a very wonderful potency. It's something we all should be praying for. Why? Because if you talk to a person for just a few minutes and that potency is manifesting from you, he will feel a love for Krishna. He'll feel a love for what you're talking about. And he will want to know more about it. He will want to investigate it. He will want to chant it. Because something inside is feeling so good that he never felt before that he must do it, just as those persons in South India did. So, therefore, we are very, very privileged, we should be very grateful that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this and showed us how powerful this holy name can be when the Lord himself invests us with this very special potency. Srila Prabhupada had that potency. He would go anywhere and everywhere, and so many persons would, just by looking at him, just by hearing him chant, hearing him lecture. He didn't speak the king's English, but he didn't have to, because the glory of love of God was manifesting from his voice, from his eyes, from his smile, from his hands, from his feet. And it was emanating, and devotees felt it, and they just wanted to serve him. That's it. That's what you want. This is a man I want to serve. This is a man I can trust. This is a man I have faith in. This is someone I want to give my life to. That's why many of us are here from the past. Because we believed in Srila Prabhupada, and he never betrayed us. He never let us down. He was guru, true guru, from the beginning to the very end. And he was chanting, and he was translating to the end. And he provided us with the perfect example of how to become a great devotee. We can't imitate Srila Prabhupada, but we can pray for his mercy to follow in his glorious footsteps. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. Thank you so much. So if there are any questions, we can have them now. I saw a hand go up. Yes, Prabhuji. Good, loud and strong. I'm getting hard of hearing. Oh, we have a mic. Wonderful.
Thank you, Amala Bhakta Prabhu, for the wonderful lecture.
Thank you.
So I have good memories from you in Los Angeles. used to read every morning in lunchtime Prabhupada's books to all the devotees. You explaining Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled South India and convert everybody and his followers. So how is it possible that nowadays, within India, not so many people know anything about Lord Chaitanya? They don't know anything. So is it because the Kali Yuga is so advanced or what?
So what is the exact question?
Yeah, he converts so many thousands of followers.
Yes.
Or millions, like you say. So.
Right.
So well, how is that nowadays? Hardly nobody knows about Lord Chaitanya, only Muslim West Bengal or the Iskcon temples.
Yes, well, a lot of books have been distributed, literally millions, and millions have gone. Many people have read them, and more over a period of time. If you go back 30 years ago and today, more people know about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if not millions know more about him, especially since all the Rath Yatra festivals which have come since Srila Prabhupada introduced them, and so many devotees dancing and chanting, so many books going out, so many temples rising here, there. So people are finding out, and it is a slow and gradual process. But I dare say that we need to become purer. That is our biggest challenge. We need to be purer. Purer, what does it mean to be pure? It means everything that I've been talking about today, having such deep and great and appreciation for what we've received, and feeling a great indebtedness to Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, and literally dripping with pure devotional love and ecstasy. When we will manifest that, people will sense it, they'll feel it, and they'll want to be a part of it. If you see somebody who's very happy and you're sad, you naturally gravitate towards that person in order to feel, to get over your depressed or your dark feelings. So we need to become purer, we need to be more appreciative, we need to chant better, We need to chant with the sense and feeling that God, Krishna, is in the name. We need to chant, as Srila Prabhupada says, you have to chant with a, we should, as he said, with appreciation, with veneration, glorifying, and with a little bit of desperation. He said, chant the holy name of the Lord like a child crying out for its mother. So how does a child cry out for its mother? Is it desperate? It's urgent. And when the mother hears, she goes quickly. So when we chant with urgency, rather than with just this, some of this mechanical chanting that I see going on, I pray for some of these persons. Sounds like a tobacco auction. One devotee, very long-standing devotee, I think that he's calling his mother. He's chanting, I says, your mother's, she's in Laguna Beach. She's not going to hear you. There's no need to. He's trying to say Rama Rama, so he's saying Mama Mama. So what has happened? I mean, Prabhupada, we can hear his chanting. He chants very clearly, but we need to inject this degree of urgency that we really mean it. We really need you, Krishna. We're unworthy. We don't deserve you. We've committed so many offenses. Nonetheless, why should I not desire? I want to come back to you. I recognize I've made so many mistakes. I'm so fallen, wretched, and worthless. Nonetheless, please forgive me and accept me. Take me back and let me serve you purely. Help me. So this mood of chanting goes very far and it penetrates very deeply. Yes, any other questions? Right now I'll take only questions. Comments will come after the questions. Anybody have any questions first?
I would pose this as a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Then what does it mean when Haridas Thakur and Mahaprabhu were having a conversation, Tan Sabada Kon Mate, Lord Chaitanya was asking Haridas, how can they be delivered? And then Haridas said something, and same, he was repeating the Vasudev Dutt conversation where Vasudev Dutt was saying, I want to take the sinful reaction of everybody, they shouldn't suffer. Mm-hmm. And Mahaprabhu said, basically, I've delivered them all, but you know, it's a material world, it's like a prison, and they'll immediately come back. So even if, so what does it mean? Addressing his question, they're all delivered during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. It doesn't take that much long for new ones to come in, like a prison. Everyone could be freed. Next day, you'll get a lot of more criminals. So what to speak of 500 years later, there's going to be a lot of criminals. So why would he be? Why would Ramanya be surprised that people might appear to have forgotten in South India?
I didn't catch the last part of it. I'm sorry.
Why would he be surprised that nowadays they may not know, unless, of course, ISKCON is big time now, more, like you're saying, 30 years have elapsed, 40 years.
Yeah.
So why should he be surprised that they may not be, you know, Chaitanya Bhaktas immediately? Yeah.
Well, the idea is that we're very forgetful. We tend to forget very, very quickly. And even, for example, when Srila Prabhupada came, there was a mood of such fervor, such enthusiasm, such die-hard dedication. And yet we see that many have forgotten Srila Prabhupada and forgotten all that he is, pure mercy, and all that he gave us, pure mercy. We forget easily. And that's why it's so important to bring to mind every day the blessings that we have received and to be grateful for those blessings. And as a result of being grateful, the grace of Krishna comes to us in remembrance of him and in remembrance to do the things that will enable us to come closer to him in consciousness. So I would say, and Prabhupada mentioned this point over and over again, forgetfulness is our biggest problem. It's a weakness. And that's because we are so eagerly allured by sense pleasures which replace our natural desire to want to be Krishna conscious. We've been brought up on sense pleasure. We have memories of sense pleasure. And when the debate is dangled in front of us, we reach for it without discriminating and saying, wait a minute, this is not going to bring me to where I want to go. We fail to discriminate, and as a result of a lack of discrimination of where that's going to lead us, we allow ourselves to get entangled and engrossed in these different pleasures, and then it becomes very difficult to pull out. We have seen so many people fall, masters and GBCs, the sannyasis leave because they forgot what they originally once knew. So remembrance, counting blessings, being grateful for what you receive is one of the basic means to stay Krishna conscious. But everybody, as you just nicely mentioned, Pushkar, people just go on forgetting because the sense pleasures are so tasty and so miserable, misery-making. But they forget that part, you see. They just remember the pleasure. Did you have a question, Prabhuji?
Thank you. Very nice class. I appreciate
thank you.
Your coming. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur confirmed Pushkar Prabhu's opinion in his writings that he says for 100 years, nobody forgot Lord Chaitanya and his teaching. And it was flooded all over India. Mm. And literally they got Krishna Prem and they left. Mm. And there is a sonnet that Advaita Acharya sent to Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada gave a comment on it that from that day, Mahaprabhu went to internal world and the whole world at that time, according to Advaita Acharya, got mad with Krishna Prem. Mm. But for 100 years, they were. After that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, 400 years will be dark age where the new soul will fill up this world and the new preaching that Prabhupada started is another revelation. Mm-hmm. So that's why in South India today, before Prabhupada came, was not known as Lord Chaitanya. Even in Bengal, I grew up as a messiah, devotee, not a supreme lord, Lord Chaitanya, yes. Mahaprabhu. I grew up with that, I know. Another point also, Srila Prabhupada and entire Guru Parampara, they established Gaur Nitai deity as a grihastha.
As a what?
Grihastha, householder.
Yeah.
Mahaprabhu's, every temple, no temple Prabhupada or his Gurudev or anybody established sannyasi form to worship. But yet, in this...
If you want to stop for a moment till he gets by.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, in this chapter, 99 text, I believe, where Prabhupada is emphasizing, and 109 also, that and you mentioned that very nicely. I appreciate your explanation. But still, maybe sometime mind may create a doubt that if South India is more higher than Navadvip, then it is not proper vision. Prabhupada says that, and he gave an answer in Nectar of Devotion, where that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also re-established that point that Navadvip Dham, where Mahaprabhu as a householder, like this form we are seeing it, is the highest form, more than sannyasi form of South India or anywhere else. That is a true. But that Navadvip Dham has a two perceiver. Bhishan is divided into two. Those who are entering into Navadvip Dham without eternal relationship, they will never enter into Navadvip Dham. To them, Mahaprabhu deprived. They are smarthas, shaktas, yeah. Shoibayats. So that's what Prabhupada mentioning here. Because in Nectar of Devotion, he gives it clarifying. But the eternal Navadvip Dham, where Sivasangan Mahaprabhu spent 1 year and everybody was drowning into the ecstasy, that Navadvip Dham is undisturbed.
Mm.
That nobody can enter.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it is reconciled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this Srila Prabhupada gives in this purport where he talks about these smarta Brahmins who very much were opposed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because, as it is mentioned, their purpose was not to develop love of God. Their purpose was to establish themselves as religious, righteous heads of the community, that they are the knowers. They are the, if any salvation is going to take place, it's going to be through them because they know the proper way to worship. They do all the samskaras, the hair cutting and the grain ceremonies. They're involved with all of the things which, you know, everybody comes to them for. So they considered all of this, you know, etiquette and ethics and different formalities, different rites, different rituals. They considered that was religion. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a different idea. He said that can should only be at best a means to something so much higher, and that is to love Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions very clearly here, as you indicating, is that but they were not into love of Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was spreading love of God and giving the Hare Krishna mantra, they had the audacity to say that as a result of this Hare Krishna mantra being spread here, there, and everywhere, it's losing its potency. Saying like that. So they would even distort the understanding of the scripture just for their own prestige purposes, you see. Are there any other questions? Or probably some of you are hungry. Oh, we have another question, yeah?
Would you?
Huh? So, is that it? Are we finished? Or we have, what's the next activity? Prasadam? Okay, so thank you all very much for your kind attention. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the Sunday Feast Talk. I thank... I'm coming this evening also. Is that going to be a regular... Isn't that a study group? Okay, so there will be a study group at what time will that be?
7 o'clock,
and we will be studying one of the chapters. I think it's the... Pardon? Yeah, the Daksha pastime where Lord Shiva is insulted and Sati commits suicide, and it's very, very interesting, fascinating, crackling. Hare Krishna.